Welcome to the final episode of the Read Between the Wine podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, because guess what, guys? We've got some exciting new developments for you.
Heck yes, we do.
And first, we'll start with a new name, but we'll get into that in a minute here. Hi, my friend.
Hi.
I've missed you.
I have missed you, too. Oh, my gosh. You guys. So, January has been rough for some, but exciting for others.
Yes.
AKA Jordan.
Well, thank you.
Yes. So, I mean...
Should we dive in?
Let's do it.
Guys, so we'll start with highs and lows. For those of you listening, hey, hi, welcome. I'm Jordan.
I'm Alicia.
And you're listening to the new Tales Over Tales podcast.
I know.
Oh my gosh, so exciting.
So, yeah.
Before we dive into our third and final portion, if you will, episode of Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, let's get into some life updates. It's been a minute. Alicia, you want to share some highs and lows going into 2022?
Yeah, no, of course. So beginning of January was really rough. My sister-in-law, I mean, she hasn't been married to my brother for 10 years now, but she's always been my sister-in-law. But she unfortunately had passed away. She's been, you know, sick for a while now. And so she passed away. She succumbed from all of her illnesses that, you know, she was dealing with for, seems like it's been years. So she did pass. And then my family all got COVID. So, but.
The COVID go around.
Yeah, it Fun was. Times. Yeah, no, it was great. I mean, I didn't get it, thankfully.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Everyone's okay, though.
Everyone's okay, though. Yeah. So we're all good. But other than that, though, life is good. Relationship is great.
Yeah.
Kiddo is great. So.
Yeah. So what would be. So I know, obviously, Deborah's passing would be your low. What would be your high?
That's a good question. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like this whole month has been kind of a low for me, for sure.
Really?
Yeah. So, not really.
There's been a lot going on.
There has been a lot going on, yeah. Just dealing with, you know, her passing and just mental health, you know, stuff too. And just trying to get through it. But, you know, I have support, so can't complain too much.
Yes, my door is always open.
Yes, ma'am. And what about you?
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Well, guys. Lots has happened. Yes. Lots has changed since we recorded last. I got engaged. Got engaged over New Year's, which was wonderful and exciting. That would, of course, obviously be my high. Mm-hmm. Actually, tomorrow it'll be a month engaged. It'll be 4 weeks engaged because it was over. Yeah, because it was over New Year's.
It was over New Year's. Dang.
Yeah. So for those of you listening, if you remember my then boyfriend, now fiance, we are long distance. Marco, he lives in Kansas City, Missouri, and obviously we're located here in Phoenix, Arizona. Mm-hmm. And he visited over New Year's, which also happened to be our 1 year anniversary, January 2nd. We celebrated a year together. And yeah, it was wonderful. It was really nice. It was just in front of the Christmas tree, exchanging our belated Christmas gifts and early anniversary gifts in front of my parents, and was very sweet and intimate. A lot of people have asked whether or not I anticipated that it was coming, or like I knew it was happening. I had my suspicions. Then I got COVID.
Yeah. Just threw all that out the window.
Which threw all of that out the window. Mm-hmm. I will share with everyone. I mean, both Alicia and I were fully vaccinated. Mm-hmm. When I got COVID, outside of a sore throat, honestly, I was pretty much asymptomatic. Mm-hmm. Didn't really have too many symptoms. Mm-hmm. So definitely threw me off.
Yeah.
You know, I got, and it was funny because I tested positive the night that he got into town. So he got into town that Wednesday before New Year's, like the 29th of December, and got into town that morning. And then that evening was when my household, my roommates and I, you know, found out we had been exposed. My roommate tested positive, and then she was like, you have to go get a test. And so then, yeah, tested positive. So, I mean, prior to that, yes, I had totally had my suspicions it was happening. And then that night, though, I don't know if I told you this, I asked him if he wanted to leave. So I tested positive, and he was staying down the street from my parent at my parents' house. I live just a few houses away from my parents, and I had FaceTimed him, showed him my positive COVID test, and then I was like, "Do you just want to change your flights?
Do you want to just go
back? Like, whatever, everything's ruined." And bless his heart, I love him so much. And he was like, no, I'm not going anywhere. Mm. And I was like, okay. I honestly had thought it was going to happen at our anniversary dinner. Mm-hmm. So if you know Roy's Hawaiian Fusion,
yeah,
he made us a reservation there for our 1 year, like, celebratory anniversary dinner.
Right.
And I totally thought it was going to happen at dinner.
Yeah.
That was...
Your suspicion.
Yeah. Well, initially my suspicion was when he asked if we could go on a hike.
Oh, that's right.
He does not hike.
Yes.
But following that, I was like, oh, like maybe it could happen when we go out to dinner. Mm-hmm. It's a real special romantic. Anyway, no. But it was beautiful the way that he did it and everything that happened. So I'm grateful. Sad that, you know, COVID kind of ruined celebrating with everybody in that time. However, at the same time, it didn't. You know, I feel like we're doing our best that right. we can, given the 1,200 miles of distance mm-hmm. when you're planning a wedding, because it's a lot.
Yeah, no kidding. Speaking of fiance, he just followed me on Instagram, which is hilarious.
Did he really?
Yes. I was like, I have a notification. I was like, that name looks oddly familiar.
That's hilarious. Okay.
That is
too funny. Yeah. Speaking of, to all of our followers out there, please, and we will reiterate this probably at the end of the episode too. We love hearing from you. Please rate, review, send us messages. Definitely mm-hmm. want to know, you know, who's out there, who's listening. You mm-hmm. have thoughts, you have feedbacks.
Yes.
Please, so, by all means, give them to us.
And so we'll get into the name change here in a second. But,
yes.
So Instagram is going to be Tales Over Tales. Our email address is going to be talesovertalespod@gmail.com. So reach out to us. We're definitely going to discuss just maybe expanding that a little bit, just so that way you guys have a little bit more of, you know, open areas, so that way you guys can talk to us. Let us know your feedback. But so we'll go ahead and get into the name change really quick before
Heck
we
yeah.
dive into this book.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So this name change actually came from Jordan, her better half, I should say. I'm not giving Jordan
you.
The credit. Sorry.
Yeah, no, don't. Please. It's so, fine.
Shout out to Mr. Mark O over here. Like, he just had this idea and it just worked. It flowed. Because, you know, we see a lot of read between the wine or the line. There was just too much commonality out there with what we had beforehand.
Good use of the word.
Oh, thank you. I'm smart, I swear. but, you know, you saw it in podcasts, you saw it on blogs, you saw it on merch, and we're just kind of like, you know, and it was just time for a change. So with this change comes, you know, not only drinking wine, but we're going to expand that too. Like, our taste buds are going to be, you know, cocktails, and we'll still do wine, but, you know, maybe we'll do a beer here and there, or like a margarita or something when we need that tequila.
There you go.
Like today, but, you know.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, listener, listen. Hey, hi. It took us unusually long to get to the studio today mm-hmm. because part of the highway, the typical part of the highway that we take to mm-hmm. get here, was closed.
Yeah.
So we I will took, just say it was, yeah, yeah, it was a journey.
It was.
It was a journey. Yeah. But we made it.
We did, yes. Yeah. So, Jordan, explain how Marco's brain.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So how his brain works? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, aside from being very logical and pragmatically driven, he will be perfectly fine with me saying this. He is a whiskey connoisseur. Mm-hmm. He's kind of, I don't want to call him a snob. That doesn't sound very kind. That's not who he is. He has studied and knows a lot about different whiskeys, different bourbons.
I mean, it wouldn't be like a bad thing to be like, he's a whiskey snob, because it's just kind of like, he knows what he's talking about. He knows what he likes. He knows.
Okay, so he's a snob. Stuff.
So he's a snob, but it's not a bad thing. Marco, if you're listening, which we know you do, you're like our second listener. Thank you for supporting us. I want some money. but yeah, no, I mean, it's not a bad thing. You just know what you like, and that's totally fine.
Anyway, right.
Go ahead.
No, so he, something in our relationship that we have bonded over is my love for wine, mm-hmm. his love for whiskey. It's been really fun, even, you know, with different trips that we've taken. We've visited wineries. Mm-hmm. Our first date was at a distillery, actually, in Tucson.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so that's just been something really neat that we bond over. Actually, my anniversary gift to him, I got him a decanter and a couple of glasses etched with his last name, soon to be our last name. And so that was really cool. But anyway, how he came up with the idea, we were just talking. We were talking about the podcast this morning, mm-hmm. and he was making a joke about being our bartender. Mm-hmm. He was making a joke about being the one to like fix us drinks mm-hmm. while we record the podcast, and then we would be able to give, you know, we'd be able to review it and, mm-hmm. you know, kind of share our thoughts or whatever. Which, by the way, listener, don't worry, we do have our wine today.
Yes.
100%. We'll get into that in a second. But yeah, he this morning mentioned Tales Over Tales, and I mean, it was like a light bulb.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Literally wasted no time. We, like, this morning, I got on changing literally everything.
She did.
The Instagram.
She was a baller.
The email address, the main site that we, like, post the episodes on. So everything is changed now. So if it looks weird, it probably just needs a little bit to update. But other than that, though, everything's changed over.
I think it's given us both some new kind of excitement over mm-hmm. what it is that we're doing, because it's, yeah, I, listener out there, come on. I mean, we're having a lot of fun with this. Mm-hmm. I hope you know that. I hope you feel that,
yeah.
you know, we've enjoyed doing this so much mm-hmm. and hopefully we'll continue to get to do it. It's exciting.
It is.
Should we tell listener? So I think that's kind of explaining the name change now. So Tales Over Tales podcast.
Yes.
It's happening.
It is.
So should we get into the wine before we finish up The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo?
Yes.
Alrighty. Yeah. So we are drinking a white today.
Mm-hmm.
Musa Nocturia. Tuaria. Nocturia.
Sure.
I'll post a picture of it.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to, let's give this a little taste.
All right.
See what we think. Oh.
Ooh.
Classy is the first word that came to my mind.
Fruity. What?
I say classy, you say fruity. Classy,
fruity.
Classy, fruity.
Oh my God. What? I'm sorry. Okay, I meant to say elegant?
Oh, don't quite know how fruity and elegant go together.
We're just
going to
ignore that I said fruity. We're just gonna...
No. But I do get the fruit. Yes.
Yes, there's fruit.
It tastes very good.
Obviously,
I like
wine.
It.
Comes from grapes. So, just kidding.
Ay. All right, listener, you're probably totally ready for us to wrap up this book. Yeah, Holy Toledo. I know. Listen, okay, while she was in the process of changing all of these things and we were prepping for this episode, mm-hmm. I made Alicia promise, you guys. Listen, I made her promise.
I had to do a blood oath. I had to slice my hand.
I said, put it into a jar. We cannot do three parts again.
I know, but this one was important, and we'll explain why.
Like we will.
The last of this book was intense. And once we get into it, it'll like make sense.
It'll make sense.
But yes, I agree. This is going to be the last book that we
divide into. We may do another two-parter,
yeah,
potentially, but yeah, we will not be doing three parts again. Okay,
yeah.
So to recap where we left off, and then you can start us off with this next part, Alicia. So basically, everybody was happy. Mm-hmm. Evelyn and Harry decided to get married. Mm-hmm. Celia and John were married. Celia and Evelyn were together. John and Harry were together. We're just all going to be one great big happy Brady Bunch family.
Pretty stinking much, yeah.
And I believe that's where we left off with the last episode.
Yes, it was. So this is regarding husband number 5. So this was Harry Cameron.
Good old Harry.
So essentially where that part of it comes off from their beautiful relationship is that they decide to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so they end up having a baby girl, and they name her Connor Margaret.
I'll double check.
Okay, yeah, double check. Cameron. So the precious little bundle of joy came to me, and it was very exciting for them, you know, because Evelyn wanted children. Harry wanted, you know, to have that relationship with Evelyn, even though
I'm so sorry. It is Connor Margot Cameron.
Okay. There you go. So see, we were both almost there, but
we're almost there,
but it's fine. So with this child, you know, all four of them, you know, Evelyn, Celia and Harry and John, you know, they all decide that they're going to raise Connor together. You know, mm-hmm. it's very much, like you said, a Brady Bunch, you know, type of thing, which is great. But yeah, so they decide to like raise Connor together, you know, and it was just nice because, you know, after everything that happened throughout the book beforehand, it was so nice to see Celia and Evelyn finally together. And then Harry was really, really happy, you know, with John. And
absolutely.
So, you know, and the good thing about this is that it wasn't something that was like short lived. Like this went on for...
They did well for quite a few years, many years.
Yeah, for many years. So it was really nice. So, you know, of course, at some point, Evelyn wanted to get back to work. You know, mm-hmm. she wanted mm-hmm. to get back into the spotlight, which, you know, she was an amazing actress. So why the heck not?
Exactly. Yeah.
So she was offered to go back in front of the camera. So this is postpartum, post-baby, you know, after living her good life. So this is where we're introduced to Max Gerard.
We had been introduced to him before because, she was in his film In Boat on Train or something like that, because it was that period of time mm-hmm. after their first breakup with Celia that she did European films.
Yeah, that's right. So we're just reintroduced after much. Got it. Okay, that's right. So she begins working on a film called 3 a.m., and her co-star is none other than her ex-husband, Don Adler. Good old
smarmy weasel.
Yes, exactly. So
this obviously turns into quite a turning point for Celia and Evelyn. Celia was pretty hesitant and reserved mm-hmm. about Evelyn going back into the entertainment industry, but even especially with her ex-husband, Don Adler, more so from the standpoint of the nature of the relationship and the abuse that Evelyn had suffered. I don't think that she was jealous or concerned from that standpoint, but it was definitely a, you know, is this the right decision for you? Like, are you sure? Mm. So part of the issue that comes into play with this is that Dawn and Evelyn in this new film are playing lovers. And mm-hmm. there's obviously a very intimate scene. And Evelyn makes the decision she's going to keep this information mm-hmm. from Celia.
Yeah.
And Celia does not find out until opening night of the movie when mm-hmm. she sees the film.
Yeah.
So leading to their next great big blowout. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is just a roller coaster, y'all. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
The ups and the downs, my heck.
Yeah.
So they have a final blowout. Celia leaves. They do not see each other again mm-hmm. for quite a while.
It was years.
It was a few years mm-hmm. because then, sadly, John Braverman, Celia's husband, Harry Cameron's partner, passes away. He dies of a heart attack. Mm-hmm. He was young. Yes?
Yeah.
I remember he was, I feel like he was young to have died right. of a heart attack. Mm-hmm. So, and this is obviously really difficult on all of them. Mm-hmm. This is difficult on Celia. This is difficult on Evelyn, on Harry, obviously. Mm-hmm. And even for Connor, sweet little Connor. She's a girl at this point, a little girl at this point. And this is her Uncle John, you know, and so that's really hard. Mm-hmm. But even at that point, I think there's the scene of John's funeral and Celia doesn't even look at Evelyn, doesn't even talk to Evelyn. Mm-hmm. That is definitely a devastating point for her. So it's after John's death, Harry and Evelyn reach somewhat of an impasse in their relationship. They determine that it's no longer serving both of them. They amicably decide to divorce. Mm-hmm. At this point, Harry needs a lot of help. He is struggling with depression. He's struggling with alcoholism. Mm-hmm. It's definitely very hard for him. And obviously another motivating factor in this decision to get her fifth divorce
yep.
is because she finds love in a sixth husband.
Yes.
Tell the listeners who our lovely sixth husband is, Alicia.
So number six is disappointing Max Gerard.
Did you think he was disappointing? I thought he was lovely.
Oh, no. He was very disappointing. The book really
does. That was sarcastic, does, by
you know,
the way.
Yes, I felt that in my soul when you mentioned that. So she ends up marrying Max.
He's basically deluded himself into believing that Evelyn is in love with him.
Yeah.
And literally. Upon wrapping up this film, 3 a.m., mm-hmm. you know, Max is like, I mean, just enamored with you. Marry me. I love mm-hmm. you.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Yeah. And, you know, so this just turns into the shortest of marriages.
I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, so Max ended up finding some good old love notes.
Do you have any love notes?
No.
No? You never kept anything from, like, any old relationships? Any past relationships?
No. I burned everything from my past relationships because they were terrible.
You're being 100% serious right now, aren't you?
I am so serious. No, yeah.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I was just curious.
Yeah, no. It was horrible.
Yeah.
So.
No, I can
Do
understand.
Do you have anything?
Do I have any relationships previously that I could have kept anything?
Not relationships.
Any love notes from?
Not, oh my gosh. Not love notes. Just anything from, we're going into a tangent. Never mind. I was going
no,
to.
No, no, no.
Like just anything from just.
Gosh.
Anything? I mean, I have a box of stuff from high school.
You know, I don't like even think I have that.
Prom stuff.
To be perfectly honest with you.
Like movie tickets, things like that. But I mean, not.
No, I'm not sure that I do. No, I prior to meeting my fiance, I mean, my last, you know, official, I'm using air quotes, exclusive, I'm using air quotes, relationship was 15 years ago, our freshman year in high school.
No, that didn't count.
But it did count.
No, it did not.
It How did it not count?
Because it was high school and nothing in high school is serious.
Okay, fair enough. I mean.
I'm just saying.
I definitely had heart entanglements, right? You watched me through those. But those were never.
Fun.
Shut up. But those were never. It was never anything like. Mm-hmm. Serious or exclusive. It was never, I didn't have any mementos or.
Right. Anything to keep.
No. To keep. I mean, if I did, then I didn't.
We can just say that we burned everything.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
You're like, yeah, of course.
You had way more things to burn than I did.
Yes.
Anyway, yes. So Max finds love letters, finds love notes between Celia and Evelyn.
Yep.
And threatens to expose their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
This turns into a pretty ugly divorce.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it ends peacefully enough once they reach an agreement. But it was pretty rough. Mm-hmm. It was pretty nasty.
Yep.
So by this point now as well, Celia and Evelyn decide to reconcile.
Mm-hmm.
They want to figure out a way to make their relationship work.
Yep.
And make the most of the time they have left. Because guess what, listener? Celia is sick.
Yeah.
And she is sick with a chronic pulmonary disease. Obviously, at this point, Evelyn and Celia, I think when they get together, there's that scene where they go to dinner and they decide that they're going to get together. So I think by this point, like, they're in their 50s, right?
Yeah.
Like mid-50s, mm-hmm. maybe? I can't remember.
Yeah.
But they want to make the most of the time that they have left. So Celia proposes this idea to finish out their days in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to go to Europe. She wants to be on the beach, wants to seclude herself and just spend the rest of her days.
Just be somewhere where nobody knows who they are. So they
and
can
just be happy.
Just be happy, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Evelyn obviously is invited. Celia encourages her to bring her daughter Connor along with her, and also Harry, of course, as you have to remember too, and I think that this is something that's so cool about Taylor Jenkins Reid and what she did with this book is you get to see the relationships, you get to see the friendships through all of this as well. You know, why else would Celia encourage Evelyn not only to bring Connor, of course, but to say, hey, like, bring Harry along with you. He is our friend, and I want him by my side, too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, ultimately, he decides not to.
Yeah.
Harry and Evelyn are at this point where they're co-parenting Connor, and Harry lets Evelyn know, you know, hey, doing my best to battle my alcoholism. I've met someone. I'm really happy with where I'm at. Moving to Europe would ultimately mean retiring for me. And I'm not in a space where I want to do that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, so then at this point, they then just agreed to go on, you know, just kind of a last trip together, you know, as a family, since, you know, the ultimate goal was for Evelyn and Celia to go off and be together.
Yes.
So, so including Connor as well, they were all going to go on this trip. But then, unfortunately, Harry is in a very, very severe car accident. So what ends up happening is, you know, Evelyn was, you know, she was driving towards Harry's house. And I believe that he crashed into a tree. And,
yes.
Yeah. So she noticed his car and yeah, it was, she immediately recognizes that it's Harry, you know, was driving drunk. So in order to, you know, make him look, what's the word I'm looking for? Just to make him not appear that way. Like, he's not a drunk. You know, she ended up staging it to where the other person that he was with, who was already unfortunately passed away at the scene, she ended up moving that person, you know, to the driver's seat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she was able to get Harry out, and they were able to get Harry to the hospital where he unfortunately did pass away.
We're downplaying a lot of this right now, yeah, just to be perfectly honest with you. When yeah, you read it,
yeah,
super traumatic.
It is.
Because you're kind of walking through each of the steps with mm-hmm, Evelyn.
Yeah.
This is another thing that I think Taylor Jenkins Reid does very well.
Yeah.
She walks through the thought process from Evelyn's point of view, and mm-hmm, Evelyn is doing all of these different things and making, yeah, you know,
like you can
snap decisions.
Yeah, like you can visualize it just yes, from where she's pulling up. You see the car in the tree. She describes what kind
it's
of
crazy
car it is, and mm-hmm, she explains, you know, obviously
she was like, oh my God,
screaming,
it's Harry's car.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah, and mm-hmm, you know, to the point of pulling him out of the car, pulling this body into the driver's seat. Like, it's just a whole.
And she doesn't know who this guy is. And
exactly. Yeah. No idea who this guy is. Harry doesn't mention who this guy is.
Mm-hmm.
And it, yeah, just like you said, it's so traumatic because it's like you can almost visualize this character doing these things because she's so descriptive in her
yes,
writing, where it's beautifully done.
Yeah.
And it's one of the main points of the book where it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really, really is. Mm-hmm. And as Alicia mentioned, Harry passes away mm-hmm, in the hospital, mm-hmm, succumbing to his injuries.
Mm-hmm.
This is clearly very hard on their daughter, Connor.
Yeah.
By this point, I want to say she's a preteen.
Yeah, she's... So they're, like, you know how we discussed previously where they have, like, little newspaper snippets within the book. So, yeah, so she was labeled as a wild child. You know, she's 14
yep,
years old. She's going on these binges, you know, because she's a mess. You know, her dad just passed away. And
Harry and Connor were really close.
They were really close. Yeah.
Yes, that was another part of the book.
Mm-hmm.
So as Connor's kind of going through this, Evelyn, you know, is very grateful. She has Celia by mm-hmm, her side. They do ultimately make the decision, along with Celia's brother, Robert, mm-hmm, you know, that they're going to go ahead and they are going to go to Spain.
Yeah.
If we hadn't mentioned already, obviously, Evelyn divorces Max.
Mm-hmm.
We did mention that because we talked about the ugliness of all of that. But
yeah,
they end up now going to Spain
yep,
so that Celia can live out her days, however many she has left,
mm-hmm,
that she can live out her days
yeah,
happily.
Yeah.
Which takes us now to our final
yes,
husband.
Yes.
Number seven.
Number
tell the people who
seven,
it is, Miss so Alicia.
This is going to be agreeable Robert Jameson. So I feel like, but between Evelyn's marriage with Harry and then her marriage with Robert are the only two that I've seemed to understand. And the reason why I say that is because she obviously didn't marry Robert because she wanted to be with him. She didn't marry Robert for anything that he had. She married him because Celia wanted her estate, her life, to go to Evelyn. She didn't want it to go to anyone else.
Yeah.
So what better way to have that happen than, you know, her marry her brother?
Yeah. Well, and just making sure that they're, you know, that all of them are taken care of.
Yeah, exactly.
That her brother Robert is taken care of, mm-hmm, that Evelyn is taken care of, and even that Connor
yeah,
is taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, so they live out their final days. Evelyn, or I'm sorry, not Evelyn, Celia, she does eventually passes away, you know, from, what was it, pulmonary,
it said, what did I say again? Chronic pulmonary disease.
Yeah.
I was asking Alicia earlier, I was like, that just kind of sounds like lung cancer.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it is necessarily. I mean, there was a lot of heavy smoking, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was a lot of smoking in that, yeah. So, unfortunately, though, this isn't the only death that Evelyn does end up dealing with. So, you know, of course, she had many years with her daughter, Connor, but her daughter ended up being diagnosed with cancer at the age of 39, and then she ended up passing away from cancer at 41.
Yeah.
So we're at this point now where Evelyn has lost everybody that she actually loved and she actually cared for.
Well, we forgot to, I mean, not that we like glossed over it, but Robert, Celia's brother, ends up passing away mm-hmm. prior to Connor's death as well. Yeah, so
that's right.
There's Celia, then there's Robert, and then there's Connor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you kind of, it's one of these things where you start to feel like the people around Evelyn are dropping like flies, almost in a sense. Not necessarily that they are. Robert was older. Mm-hmm. He was in his 80s.
Yeah, he was like 81, 80, 82 when he died.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, but for Connor especially, I mean, it's hard. I can't imagine for any parent, you know, to lose their child.
Right.
So Evelyn certainly enjoyed her last days with Celia that she had. She enjoyed her last days with Connor. And this is essentially the point that we're reflecting on when we are brought back to present day.
Yeah.
So the author brings us back to present day.
Mm-hmm.
And we now finally learn.
Yeah. So
why Monique was chosen.
Yeah. So, y'all, when I read this,
listen,
I screamed because I was like, no stinking way. Like, this is what happened. So, Evelyn ends up revealing to Monique the real reason that she wanted, you know, Monique there, why she wanted to tell Monique, you know, her story and everything like that. So, as we had mentioned, Harry was in that really bad car accident. You know, there was someone else in the car with him, and that person ended up being James Grant. James Grant, as in Monique's father.
Yep.
So, that was Harry's partner, you know, that he was telling Evelyn that, like, he was so happy and he didn't want to move because of this guy.
Yeah.
So we end up getting this beautiful letter that's written by James. And I totally want to read it because it was just, it was amazing.
We have time. Yeah, okay, go for it.
So the note said, "Dear Harry, I love you. I love you in a way that I never thought possible. I have spent so much of my life thinking that this type of love was a myth. And now here it is, so real, I can touch it. And I finally understand what the Beatles were singing about all those years. I do not want you to move to Europe, but I also know that what I may not want may very well be the best thing for you. So despite my desires, I think you should go. I cannot and will not be able to give you the life you are dreaming of here in Los Angeles. I cannot marry Celia St. James, although I do agree with you that she is a stunningly beautiful woman. And if I'm being honest, I did nurse a small crush on her in Royal Wedding. But the fact remains that though I have never loved my wife the way I love you, I will never leave her. I love my family too much to fracture us for even a moment of time. My daughter, whom I desperately hope you can one day meet, is my reason for living. And I know that she is happiest with me and her mom. I know that she will live her best life only if I stay where I am. Angela is perhaps not the love of my life. I know that now that I felt real passion. But I think in many ways, she means to me what Evelyn means to you. She is my best friend, my confidant, my companion. I admire the forthrightness, well, that was a weird word, with which you and Evelyn discuss your sexuality, your desires. But it is not how Angela and I work, and I'm not sure I'd want to change that. We do not have a vibrant sex life, but I love her the way one loves a partner. I would never forgive myself for causing her pain, and I would find myself desperate to call her, to hear her thoughts, to know how she is, every moment of every day if I was not with her. My family is my heart, and I cannot break us up, not even for the type of love that I have found with you, my Harry. Go to Europe if you believe it is what is best for your family, and know that here in Los Angeles, I am with mine, thinking of you. Forever yours, James."
Gosh dang it, Taylor Jenkins Reid.
I know.
Such good writing.
I know. It was like when I was reading this, so mind you, I was reading this book when I was at work and I was crying. And I
do
think,
you have anyone that you like work with or work for that listens to this podcast? So then they know now what you actually do when you're working, Alicia Contreras.
Yeah, no, no one listens. No one knows that we do this, so I'm safe. Yeah,
she's not very convincing.
I think I'm safe as far as I.
Anyway, so you were reading, crying. Go on.
Yeah. Anyway, so that is the letter, and
thank you for reading that.
Yeah. No, of course. So you know, of course, this just absolutely rocks Monique's world. Like, mm-hmm. you know, here she is thinking that she had, you know, loving parents, which she did. You know, she had a
absolutely
good life, but you know, it's also another aspect of it of, you know,
this duty and obligation almost, yes. if you will. So it's funny that you read this and that you brought it up, because I just find it so interesting how someone could choose. I mean, I do get it. Mm-hmm. I think I do get it.
Yeah.
There's a part of me, though, that says, like, can you really be with a partner that you don't have any chemistry with? Can you really be with, you know, someone mm-hmm. that you don't have
right.
that connection to? I'm going to go off on a tangent here for a second. Listen. So, Alicia will remember this. Even way back when, there's been several seasons of it now, but you know that reality show, Sister Wives?
Yes.
Yeah. One of the wives left.
Mm-hmm.
Have I told you this? Have we talked about this?
No, we haven't.
Okay. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Cody, the husband, no longer found wife number three, Christine, attractive.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't desiring her anymore. Mm-hmm. Therefore, they were no longer going to be intimate.
Yeah.
And somehow this was just okay.
Mm-hmm.
Please explain to me. This is not rhetorical. Mm-hmm. I want to understand.
Yeah.
Because in no way, shape, or form do I ever desire having a relationship mm-hmm. like that,
right?
Like, you have to be fulfilled mentally, emotionally, physically,
mm-hmm.
and spiritually.
Oh, yeah.
And that physical part, that sexual intimacy part, it's so important.
Yeah.
Right? It's so important. I can't imagine. Like, I don't know. Am I sounding crazy?
No. No, you're not sounding crazy at all. Because it's true. Because it's like, and mad props to Sir James, because he was willing to give up what he knew to be true with Harry, just so that way he can stay with his family. So that way he can stay. And
I think that there still is some that there is still a sense of that
mm-hmm.
in humanity,
mm-hmm.
right? When you're, I mean, hey, like, I am now engaged and planning a wedding, right? Like, it's mind-blowing wrapping my mind around this idea. Like, there's now going to be this person in my life
mm-hmm.
forever. Yeah. Like, as long as I'm alive, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is a very intentional
mm-hmm.
commitment.
Yeah.
That we're making.
Mm-hmm.
And I, yeah, duty won out for James, yeah. I guess, is essentially what I'm mm-hmm. saying.
Yeah. And like, to go back to that, you know, it's same, you know, here, like, you, we're with these significant others, we're with them forever. You know, it's exciting, you know, that you get to see them every day. You get to live with them. You get to work with each other and figuring out likes and dislikes and, you know, everything like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's so beautiful. And it's, you know, in a sense, it is a little bit more than, you know, the intimacy part of it, like the sex-wise. But, you know, but still all in all, though, it's like, we just don't, I just wish that we kind of had a bigger scope of how like James actually felt when within the relationship, you know, that
well,
he was.
Well, let me ask you this, as mm-hmm. a mother.
Yeah.
Do you think having Monique played a factor in this decision for James?
Oh, yeah.
Did you? Because I feel like if I take myself back to that time and conversations that you and I had, like, mm-hmm. you tried really hard making it work mm-hmm. with Leland's
yeah.
dad.
Yeah. And that was something, too, because that's where I'm kind of like, you know, how was he feeling? You know, was he, you know, even though, yeah. like he said, there was no sex life, was he still happy? Like, was he just existing in this relationship? You know, like, so, yeah, so going back to that, like, with me, like, you know, there was no happiness in that relationship. But I stayed or tried to stay because I, you know, we have this child together. And, you know, of course, we want our kids to be raised by both parents, you know, and, yeah. not it be a separate thing. But, you know, at the end of the day, even though, you know, I decided to up and leave that relationship, I feel like it just blossomed into something a lot better for both of us.
Amen.
You know, so it's great because, you know, he has, you know, now my son has a great stepmom who loves him like his own. And then, yeah. you know, my boyfriend, you know, he absolutely loves him. And, you know, it just ended up working. And so it would have just been, it would have been so interesting to, like, see how this may have blossomed if they didn't die.
I know. Like, well, and isn't that always the thing? So I'm, I'm going to go on that. I'm going to dovetail off that for a second. Mm-hmm. Like, when I, and Alicia knows what I'm talking about, and any listener who's close to me who has heard me talk about it knows what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. In 2018, you know, when I went through a really difficult breakup, if you will, 2018, 2019-ish, mm-hmm. It was, you know, not an official relationship. It was not an exclusive relationship, but it mm-hmm. was, it was devastating. It was really hard. Mm-hmm. And I remember praying so specifically to God. Like, I was like, you're going to have to blow me out of the water, Jesus. Like, you are going to have to do something mm-hmm. completely unexpected
yeah.
for me to know and to see anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank goodness for Facebook church dating site one-on-one.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Praise Jesus. I told you he proposed on like our first date.
No.
Did I tell you this?
What?
I hope he gets so embarrassed by me telling this story. So June of 2020 was when we had like our first video date, mm-hmm. if you will, right? Virtual date. Mm-hmm. And listen, shout out to single people dating through a pandemic because y'all, I've been there. Like, it is it's rough. Anyway, it was our first video date. I think it lasted something like 4 hours. Like, I think we were just chatting and talking. It was the day that I, you know, my offer was accepted. I closed on the sale of my home. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, was officially becoming a homeowner mm-hmm. and he was moving to Kansas City. He had accepted a teaching job. And I can't remember what it was specifically that I had said. I had said something. We were just talking about common interests or different things like that. And toward the end of the conversation, he was like, so, based off of this conversation, when are we getting married?
It's like, I feel like at that point, he was like, this is it.
You know, you'd have to ask him. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he knew then.
I think he did.
Marco,
I know you're listening. We're now friends on Instagram.
DM her. You DM can tell
me.
Her.
I need to know. And if you don't want me to tell her, then I won't. It'll just be a sworn secrecy between you and I.
No. No, I don't know. I mean, he's a character that way sometimes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
thank you, God, for
Yeah.
For blowing me away with the unexpected
there
because
you go.
He absolutely was.
Yeah.
No, so I guess all I'm saying is, you know, that choosing that responsibility, choosing that duty or obligation over love seems interesting to me. So anyway, sorry, listeners. So bringing it back to the book.
Yeah.
We now have, you know, Evelyn sharing this news with Monique that it was her father in the car with Harry. And, I mean, this definitely sends Monique through a whirlwind of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of all over the place.
Right.
And ultimately, we get Monique's point of view, we kind of get her perspective as she's processing the different feelings and emotions. She ultimately decides to keep this information from her mother. You know, we see some really great conversation with her mom about her relationship with her dad.
Yeah.
And her mom, too, you know, loved her dad very much and didn't seem to have any problem or any issue with the nature of their relationship.
Yeah.
And so Monique makes the mature decision. You know, she's like, I don't need to ruin that for my mother.
That memory, that idea. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we get a final scene of a photo shoot for the magazine, as well as book that Monique will write. For Evelyn, it's kind of a sweet moment. The two of them take a picture together as well, which I think ends up being a very sweet memory that Evelyn gets, or sorry, that Monique gets to have. And our last scene, Evelyn sends her assistant, Grace, away on vacation. It's the first vacation that Grace has taken in a long time. And it is learned the following day that Evelyn Hugo has passed away from an accidental overdose.
Air quotes on that?
Yes.
Yeah.
So she wanted to go out on her own terms.
She did. And she did it with a bang.
Bang, bang. Not quite.
Not quite.
Not quite.
Not quite. Didn't mean it that way. I'm sorry.
No, no, no. Sorry. Sorry, sorry.
Sorry.
But still, there you go, listener.
Yes.
The seven husbands of Evelyn Hugo.
Yes.
Oofta.
Yeah.
We made it through.
We did.
Holy Toledo.
I know. It's crazy.
That's the end of the book.
That is.
My Lanta.
I know. Isn't that
so
crazy?
Highly, highly, highly recommend this book, reader,
same,
listener.
Same.
Hey, Taylor Jenkins Reid is a phenomenal writer.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely want to put more of her books on my list to read because I think that she's fantastic. Do we have any other like final thoughts or anything to share from the book?
Not that I can think of. I mean, we covered a lot, obviously.
We did. This is episode 3, dude.
Yeah. No more. You promise.
No mas.
No mas.
No mas.
No mas. No, it, like you said, it's a really good book. It's intense. It's raw. It's emotional. It's good. It's a good read.
It's a fantastic read.
It is. Yeah. So I give it a 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10 for Alicia.
Yes.
Yeah. I gotta say, so well written.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be, I don't know, somewhere in the 8 to 10 out of 10 range for me. I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was so, so, so good.
Yes.
But anyway, listener, we are super excited to continue this, to continue sharing more with you. Our book for the month of, oh my God, February. Holy crap.
I know. Already.
Already. February 2022. My, oh my. But our book for February, We Are the Brennans by Tracy Lang. Give you kind of a brief overview. I'll read the, what is this called?
The inside
sleeve.
Card.
The inside card, the sleeve. When 29-year-old Sunday Brennan wakes up in a Los Angeles hospital, bruised and battered after a drunk driving accident, she swallows her pride and goes home to her family in New York. But it's not easy. She deserted them all and her high school sweetheart 5 years before with little explanation. And they've got questions. Sunday is determined to rebuild her life back on the East Coast, even if it does mean tiptoeing around resentful brothers and an ex-fiancé. The longer she stays, however, the more she realizes they need her just as much as she needs them. When a dangerous man from her past brings her family's pub business to the brink of financial ruin, the only way to protect the Brennans is to upend all their secrets. Secrets that have damaged the family for generations and will threaten everything they know about their lives. In the aftermath, the Brennans are forced to confront painful mistakes and ultimately a way forward together. I'm excited to read this one.
I am too.
We were talking a little bit this morning before our recording session today just about future books that we've got coming your way, listeners. Mm-hmm. We're super, super excited.
We are.
We cannot wait. And so definitely be on the lookout. We will hopefully be bringing this one to you within a month. We plan for an episode a month. Mm-hmm. That's what we're shooting for. But in the meantime, please, please, you can find us at our Instagram handle is at Tales Over Tales Podcast. Mm-hmm. On Instagram. You can find me. My Instagram handle is at MS. That's MS, Miss Jordan Alexis. On Instagram.
Yes. And then you can also find us on our email, talesovertalespod@gmail.com. And then you can also locate me at Alicia Contreras on Instagram.
So please reach out. We want to hear from you. Rate, yes. Review, let us know your thoughts, feelings,
yes.
Anything. You know, we'll take book recommendations. Mm-hmm. Always, always, always. So I so appreciate getting this opportunity to read this book with you,
yes,
Alicia. It's been so great.
I know.
What are you most looking forward to this next month? Let's go ahead and let's end on that high note.
February. Let's see. February is the month of love.
Are you big on Valentine's Day?
I am. I'm very big on Valentine's Day. You know, of course, not last year. His last year was with my boyfriend and we had like such a good time. It was so much fun. But like prior years, you know, I feel like, listen, if you don't have a Valentine's, like, it's not the end of the world. Like, I know they make it seem like, you know, single awareness and, you know, oh, I don't have a Valentine's, so I'm just going to mope around. No, you go out there and you do you. You go take yourself on a date. You go have a nice relaxing bubble bath, some face masks, some drinking, and you'll
preach.
Be good. Yeah. I mean, I'm excited because, you know, this is the second Valentine's Day with my boo. And, you know, we have some good plans. And then our 1 year anniversary of, you know, being together is coming up in March.
Yay.
So that's exciting. And, you know, so there's a lot of history for us. So it's officially like our 1 year back together, but we've been together prior. It's a whole thing anyway. But yeah, so I think that's just kind of what I'm looking forward to in February.
Amen.
So, yeah.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
What about you?
Well, in just a few weeks, I will be heading to Kansas City. Ooh. It is my last trip to Missouri before Marco moves here this summer. So super excited about that. We have another trip planned out to Virginia to visit some friends in March. So I'm really excited about that as well. But no, I think February is going to be a great month. Mm-hmm. Taking a back seat, kind of taking a pause on wedding planning. We've got a lot of the big details hammered out at this point, but right. My next class for my MBA program starts back up. So focusing on that, but also just looking forward to this trip. Because it'll be, you know, the first and probably the only time I'll be getting to spend time with my fiance and his family before we're married. Like, I'm talking specifically, obviously, about my soon-to-be in-laws and that side of the family.
Right.
You know, whenever I've visited with them or spent time with them before, it's as the girlfriend. And so now, as a future missus. It's really nice
She's
to get
a
to
free outside.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to being able to get some time mm-hmm. with them and yeah, just spending time. I mean, it's not, and I don't know that I'm totally looking forward to the weather, depending on how that's going to go. It's going to be real cold, but it'll be fun. Layers. It'll be a good time. Oh, I know.
All the layers.
Oh, I know. So, I feel like February will be a really great month. I'm mm-hmm. not as big on Valentine's Day as you are. I mean, I'm big on chocolate. And on wine, obviously.
The day after Valentine's Day, there's
It's like the best to buy chocolate. I know. I've heard that. Yes.
Great.
100%.
Yeah. Recommend.
But I always knew, even as a person who would eventually, you know, maybe end up in a relationship, like mm-hmm. a Valentine's Day was never... That just wasn't my...
It wasn't your thing.
No, not my holiday. Yeah. But that's okay. It's not, you know, not that big of a deal.
Well,
so
I'm sure you...
I'll be visiting with Marco the weekend after.
So you guys will probably do
That's
something.
When I fly out
so
there.
It'll be like your Valentine's Day when you're out there.
Kind of.
Yeah.
A little
I'm
bit.
I'm sure he'll make it special.
Yeah.
Marco, if you listen to this before Valentine's Day, make sure you make it special. Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Oh, yeah. And send her that money. I'm just kidding. No, he's not going to.
I need some money. I need some chocolate. I need some wine.
Alicia, okay. You're so.
Just kidding.
Ay, ay, ay. In the meantime, listener, we so appreciate you.
Yes, we do. We
stay do. Reading. Stay classy.
And stay drinking.
Bye.
Bye.